At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to The Walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Can you smell it? It's football time. It's me, Matty Kiwum, and I'm joined by my man, Eric Vanek. Eric, what's going on, my friend?
Man, I'm excited for the game tonight that we're going to be watching here in a few hours. Got Chiefs Chargers tomorrow, and then a whole Sunday slate. College football's back, too, man. It's just all football all the time. I love it.
Oh, dude, I tweeted it today. Thursday night football. We have the kickoff in Brazil on Friday. We got Michigan, Oklahoma on Saturday. Then, of course, Sunday football all day long. And I might be a contrarian here. I don't really give a shit that this commercial's on Red Zone. It's still going to slap. It's still going to be the best part of every Sunday, having Red Zone and having all these boom, 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 boom. You know what? I need a pee break every often. I'm not like Scott Hansen. I need to take a leak. So I'll go take a leak. We'll be good to go.
Yeah, especially like those 2 o'clock games when they have, or the 4 o'clock games, they have those shitty teams playing. Like,
nothing's there. There's 3 games, 2 of them are 5 games below 500. Bang away on commercials that time, baby. But anyway, this is the first episode of the 2025 season of The Walkthrough. Me and Eric are going to walk you through each and every game on the slate, especially when we don't have Thursday night, Friday night, but you know, we're going to do Friday night as well. So that is actually where we'll start. We'll start with the Chiefs at Chargers in Brazil, Sao Paulo. The Chiefs are giving up 3 points. They're minus 3 point favorites, a 46.5 over under, about middle of the slate there. And the Chargers are getting some juice at plus 140. Obviously, if you drafted Kelce, you're playing Kelce. If you drafted Mahomes, you're playing Mahomes. I want to start on the Chargers side, though, Eric, because Justin Herbert is kind of that fringe starter, especially in our 1QB redraft friends. Are you starting Herbo in week one?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at his numbers in the past against the Chiefs, and they're not too bad. So I think having Ladd in there, he's going to have Keenan Allen, another fresh, you know, old face back in that he's familiar with. I think he's going to be fine. Probably a back-end quarterback one for me this week.
Yeah, for me, this week, I don't have him ranked all that high, so I'm trying to find alternatives, if at all possible. There's a few streaming options that I love, one being a Trevor Lawrence in our shallower leagues, but we'll talk more about him later on. Staying on the Chargers side of the football, Najee Harris gets cleared to play off the injury report, expects to be on the field in Sao Paulo. What are we doing with Amarian Hampton? We're playing him, but are we pumped to play him? Where do you have him ranked this week?
Yeah, I would probably say he's probably an RB2 for me, but yeah, I'm playing him. I think he's going to get most of the workload. I can't see Najee getting out there and getting, you know, 50% of the workload here. So I think it's maybe like a 70-30 kind of split here. You know, Najee gets in there for a little bit. But I'm excited to start Hampton in his first game. I think, with Herbert in there too, dumping some balls off to him, I think Hampton should be set up to go.
Yeah, and for me too, I completely agree with you. Harbaugh is a bit of kind of that old school mentality. The best ability is dependability, and I can't sit here and say that Najee's been dependable. So I would imagine that if Omarion Hampton is going to be the starter, which he is, he's going to look at, what, 62, 65% snap share. And if that man is on the field 65% of the time and gets, you know, most of the touches, call it 60% of the opportunities at that position, you're going to fire up Omarion Hampton all day, every day. I got him as a running back too, but I'm still playing him with a ton of confidence. Now I'm going to ask you a general question to wrap up the Chargers side of the ball. Pass catchers, where do you see them kind of feeling this week? Are we excited to play these guys?
Yeah, I'm playing McConkey. I'm playing Keenan Allen. I'm not playing like a Trey Harris or Lambert Smith or any of these other guys. I'm gonna avoid the tight ends. Like, I don't know if it's Disley. I don't know if it's Conklin. I don't know. So that kind of makes me want to play, you know, Hampton a little bit more too, because I think he's going to get a little bit more of the workload.
Yeah, I agree. Let's switch it over to the Chiefs side of the ball. It's pretty straight up and down, like 6 o'clock. You know who you're playing. You're playing Pacheco. You're playing Mahomes. You're playing Worthy. What do you think, Kelsey? You think Kelsey, he has good numbers against the Chargers. Should people be playing with him confidence this week?
Yeah, I would. I think if you drafted him, you're playing him. So, yeah, week one, I'm going to play Kelsey. I know he's healthy. I know, you know, just got engaged, all that stuff. He's going to be happy. Let him go out there, get a touchdown. So, yeah, let's go Kelsey.
I'm going to say this, too. I think Xavier Worthy could see 8 to 10 targets in week one.
For all my shares and redraft and best ball, and I'm hoping you're right.
Yeah, I just see a lot of volume going here. You know, obviously no Rashi Rice. There's just really not that secondary option, but Jalen Royals has been banged up. You know,
yeah, Hollywood Brown,
what is he? Yeah, he's completely ruled out. Hollywood Brown, like, well, I don't know what he is at this point in his career due to the injuries, setbacks, and his age. So for me, Xavier Worthy, fire him up. I like Kelsey, Mahomes, Pacheco. Of course, we're going to go ahead and play them as well.
Yeah, I don't mind Hollywood Brown. If I have to throw him into a flex spot, I'll throw him in. Like, I think he could have a big play this week, so I like him.
Ah, I like that call. Good call. Way to bring it up. Let's move over to Sunday. Shift to Sunday because we are walking you through each and every game. First and foremost, make sure you subscribe to the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel. Make sure you like this video. Leave a comment. Who are some of your favorite plays in week one? A battle of NFC South divisional foes. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Hotlanta to take on the Falcons. Falcons are getting 1.5. Over-under of 46.5. Another game kind of middle of the road in terms of the slate. And the Falcons are 114 money line underdogs. I feel like this is something we can kind of breeze through because this is a smoke 'em if you got 'em situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much know who's going to be starting here. You're starting your Abeka Buka, your Mike Evans, your Bucky Irving. You're starting your Drake London, your Kyle Pitts, your Bijan. You're starting those guys. We don't know if Mooney's going to play yet. I actually like the Falcons this one. I think the Falcons at home, that crowd's usually pretty ruckus for opening day against a division rival, and they're getting points. I like Atlanta in this one.
Derby Entertainment, shout out to you for being in the chat. He says Bucks. The point is only 1.5, so Vegas thinks it's going to be Razor. I think I'm with you, E. I think I might take a little of that juice. Give me that little 140 odds there. Give me a little juice and take the Falcons. But in terms of fantasy, we've been drafting from both of these rosters with a ton of excitement. Now's not the time to get cold feet. You're going to fire up both sets of players on both of these rosters. All right, next game we're going to talk about is a battle of foes, this time from the AFC North. Cincinnati Bengals head to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Browns are getting 5.5. Seems a little light. That seems 5.5. That seems a little light. Maybe it's a week one thing. I don't know. Over under 48.5. Woohoo! That's amongst the tops of the slate. Kind of exciting to see that possibly, that Vegas thinks there'll be some points scored. And the Browns plus 195 if you take them with the money line. Bengals, we'll breeze through them real quick. You're playing them, right? Everybody you're playing. You're playing Brown. You're playing Burrow. You're playing Chase. You're playing Higgins. You drafted them high. You're going to play them. But let me ask you this before we move on to the Browns. Kosicki, Fant, any one of those guys get excited if you are an absolute pickle at tight end?
I'm going to say no. I want to see how Gesicki and Fant are used in week one. Like, I think they're just going to cannibalize each other a little bit. So I'm going to wait on those guys if I can.
I agree. I haven't drafted any of them in my redraft leagues. I haven't really taken any of them in my best ball shares, none of that, because I agree. I don't think there's upside to either one of them. Yeah, one of them may get a touchdown from here or there, but there's better things to chase. All right, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns, though, because Joe Flacco at the helm, that means good things for Jerry Jeudy, right?
Yeah, I like him with Jeudy. I mean, even though Jameis was the one, you know, hitting Jeudy last year, I think Flacco's just as good, if not better, than Jameis. And Njoku was always Flacco's guy. Like, him and Njoku have a bond. Like, that's going to be a big one there. I'm taking the Browns here, plus 5.5. I'll even go money line. I'll take the Browns.
Oh, baby. Is that the homerism?
Maybe a little bit, but this Bengals defense sucks. And what does Joe do? Joe fires the ball, man. I'd start in Joe Flacco over Dak tonight in a league.
Ooh, that's exciting. I like that call. I like the Flacco call. I kind of like the Browns call because flashback to a year ago, the New England Patriots were able to handle Biz in Cincy, and that team was putrid. Bengals are notoriously slow starters. Tried to fix that this year by playing their starters throughout the whole preseason. But we'll see about that. I like the call on the Browns money line. We like Jerry Jeudy. We like David Njoku. Talk to me about Cedric Tillman. Is he like a flex play for you this week with Flacco at the helm?
Yeah, if you're in trouble, like if you had like Christian Kirk and now he's out for the game, like, and you got to throw somebody in there, Tillman's a good guy to throw in. I think, you know, Flacco's just had success throwing the ball, man. I could see Flacco getting 300 yards, and somebody's got to get those yards. So, yeah, I'm in on Tillman. He's practiced in full both days. He did have a little injury in training camp, but he's good to go.
He's always banged up. But if we're talking about in terms of the range of which I play him, I'm playing him around guys like DeMario Douglas, Keenan Allen, Darnell Mooney, if he suits up. That's kind of the range I have him as well. Yeah, so he's kind of a wait and see if you could find something. You know, if you're in a shallow league and Ollie Gordon's available, all of a sudden Devon Achane has a flare up late on Friday or on Saturday, maybe make that move. Speaking of which, let's move on to the next game. The Miami Dolphins head to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Miami is getting 1.5 on the road, over under 47.5, and the Dolphins are actually -108. But on the other side of that coin, the Colts are -112. There's zero juice in the money line, a game that I will not bet on for money line because your boy needs some juice. Speaking of juice, the Dolphins have had some juice over these last few years. We're talking about Achane. We're talking about Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa. All of these guys have been, you know, notoriously starters in fantasy, but seems like things are brewing down in South Beach that aren't all that positive. Are you nervous to play any of these Dolphins?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think the only other one I would consider other than those guys is maybe a little bit of Ollie Gordon if I'm desperate for RB2. But other than that, I think I'm going to play, you know, the main guys here and kind of just hope for the best. But this is kind of like the prison game of the week, but they're going to show the prisoners and all the jails around the U.S. here.
Yeah, this is the torture game. This is the game that they play for the terrorists. We're trying to get information. So I'm just going to give you the ball, let you run with it with the Colts here. Danny Dimes, quarterback for the Colts. What does this mean for the team? Obviously, Taylor, smash mode all day, every day. But how does the pass catchers play out? And Danny Dimes, in Superflex leagues, are you going to suit up a little Danny Dimes this week?
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid starting Daniel Jones if I can. I think this is going to be a big Jonathan Taylor game. I think they got to get him going, try and limit Daniel Jones from throwing as much as possible. But I would expect Tyler Warren should have a decent day here. Like, that Miami secondary is pretty bad, like linebackers, and the secondary is very bad. They're starting Jack Jones, who you know from your Patriots days, and Storm Duck. You ever heard of a Storm Duck?
I have, because he was a name that stood out when, like, you know, every college season somebody tweets out the best names in college. Storm Duck was obviously a top list when he was in college.
Yeah, so there is no corners here to speak of that are any good. Like, one of these receivers probably has a good game. Good luck trying to pick which one, honestly.
I kind of agree. You know, Downs has been a good slot player. Pittman's been a pretty reliable guy when healthy, but, you know, he missed practice Tuesday, undisclosed. It seems like he's back now, should be fine. But I think it, the answer might not be a receiver at all. Is the answer in this game, other than Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Warren?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably where I would lean. If you drafted Tyler Warren, and lately he's been going a lot higher in drafts, so you probably draft him as your tight end one. You just got to play him.
Yeah, I got Tyler Warren as tight end 9 this week, so I'm definitely firing him up if I was taking him as my late-round tight end option. And I'm not mad about it one iota. Let's move on to the next game, which historically looked like a prison game, but maybe there's a little juice here. The Carolina Panthers head down to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Jaguars, 3.5-point favorites, over under 46.5, again, kind of middle of the slate. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually -185 on the money line. You do get juice with Carolina. So we'll start there with the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard, firing him up. Tet McMillan all day, every day. The guy is going to see potentially double-digit targets. But I want to ask you about Bryce Young, because Bryce Young is a player that is potentially on redraft waiver wires, is on benches in Superflex redraft teams. But I have Bryce Young as a top 15 play in my Superflex leagues. I don't mind him being my QB2. What do you think about Bryce this week? Can he come out hot?
Yeah, I mean, he's finished off the year really, really good last year, and I'm really intrigued by this game, honestly. I think both teams have a lot more promise and upside with new coaching staff and, you know, new players that they add and everything. So, yeah, I'm excited for this and see Bryce in year two with Dave Canales here, and then he's got a new weapon in Tet. Yeah, I'm excited.
Over under 8.5 targets for Tet McMillan.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, baby, because it ain't no fun to take the unders, baby. No. And the Jaguars last year was one of the worst passing defenses in the league. So does that mean, should we sneakily think that Jatavion Sanders could have a role?
Yeah, I've put him in some lineups if I needed to, but he's probably more of a tight end 2, top of that tiers for me. But yeah, like I could see him being like one of the hot waiver wire pickups because he has, 5 for 75 and a touchdown or something. And then everyone thinks, I got to get this guy now. So I could see him being like the hot waiver wire pickup for redraft.
Yeah, I like the call too. Jatavion's been getting a lot of buzz in camp. Some even saying that it was why the Panthers were so down to trade Thielen. They just felt like between Tet and Jatavion, they might have a little bit of pass attack over the middle. But I got to ask this question before I move to Jacksonville, because it just coincidentally worked out this way. I didn't do this on purpose. It's just sheer coincidence. In my rankings, 3 in a row, I have Ferguson, Sanders, Goddard. If you had Sanders, would you play him over either the tight ends going on Thursday Night Football?
I think I would play Goddard, I think, over the other two.
Goddard. Okay, so you listeners, you'll probably have the answer to this by the time you're tuning in, so let Eric know. Leave it in the comments. Was Eric right or was Eric completely right? We'll see after the game is completed. Now let's go to the Jacksonville side. We're going to start where everyone wants to hear about. Travis Hunter. Thoughts on Travis Hunter, starting Travis Hunter, expectations on Travis Hunter in fantasy football. Talk to me about Mr. Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much playing him everywhere. Like, I want some fun, man. Like, this watching this kid has been a lot of fun. How do you not have a home game where you feature this guy, quite a bit? So I think he has a big play, a big touchdown at some point. So, yeah, I'm starting Travis Hunter everywhere. If I can, I have one league where I'm loaded at receiver. He's my 5th receiver and I can't start him in a, start 4 league. I think I'm starting Pickens as my last guy over him. So it sucks, but I'm going to, that's my options there.
Yeah. I like the sacred humble brags there. I like that a lot. To put it in context for myself, I completely agree with you. I know we've agreed a lot tonight, but that's okay. We'll find some discourse at some point, but I got Hunter as my wide receiver 24. I got Brian Thomas, my wide receiver 2. This Panthers passing defense has not been all that effective. Yes, they have Horn, but after that, there's really not a whole lot. There's not really much to get excited about. They're still not ready to get after the quarterback on the road. I don't know if this team's ready to be a defensive unit that you need to worry about one bit. And all that translates to me. I got Trevor Lawrence at QB 6. Am I crazy, Eric?
No, because I think Thomas and Hunter could have some big games. I think Brenton Strange could have a decent game. Plus, you got Etienne in there too. They really like Diami Brown. So, yeah, I don't mind it. And I think this might be one of the higher scoring games of the week. So, I like the over too.
Oh, let's go. I like that over. I'm definitely going to take you up on that over. We'll finish this game here. Running backs. You mentioned Travis Etienne. I'm starting to get a little whiff in the air that he might be in line to just be a bell cow to start the year. They just keep talking about this guy like they love what he does. And Liam Cohen likes to use running backs the way that they'll be more successful in the offense. But are we sure that Tank Bigsby and Bashir Tutin are just going to take a ton of touches off the rip? I don't know.
I don't think any of us know, to be honest with you. I'm going to have to just see how week one plays out. I think if I have to pick somebody to start, it's Etienne. I'm just going to sit Bigsby and Tutin for sure in all my leagues that I can and just see what happens there. But, yeah, if I had to pick one of these guys to start, it's definitely Etienne for week one.
All right, let's move to my neck of the woods with this next game. The Las Vegas Raiders head to New England to take on the Patriots. Patriots, 2.5-point favorites, over under 44.5, one of the lowest scoring over unders on the slate. And the Raiders have a little bit of use. They got the plus 130 money line. We'll start with the visiting Las Vegas Raiders. Ashton Jeanty poised to absolutely smash. Listen to me, folks. Look me in my eyes. The Patriots will not be able to stop either Jeanty or Brock Bowers over the middle part of their field. Their best linebacker is the former Raider, Spillane, who is a run stopper. He is not going to cover all that well. Their safeties are mediocre. Their cornerbacks are banged up. They are going to give up a ton of catches over the field. So whatever Brock Bowers' props are, hit him with the over. And you're obviously playing both of them. But I want to talk about the receivers on the Raiders side, and you can tie that in with Geno Smith as well, Eric. Jacoby Myers asked for a trade, didn't go anywhere. Amari Cooper signed, already retired. So what does that mean for Myers? What does that mean for Besh? And what does that mean for the biggest dark horse in most people's drafts, Thornton?
Yeah, I really do like the Raiders in this one, too. I don't believe Christian Gonzalez has practiced the first 2 days, right?
He hasn't practiced in 5 weeks.
Yeah. So that's very scary for me too. They're probably their best defensive player, you know, full stop, isn't going to play. So I like the Raiders in this one. Give me Raiders in the points. I like Geno, like you said, throwing to Brock Bowers, throwing the ball to Jeanty. You know, Jacoby Myers over in the middle in the slot. I like him there quite a bit too. So yeah, I think those guys are all going to feast this week. I'm going to start all three of those guys. Starting Thornton. I don't think I could start him week one. I don't think I could start Trey Tucker. I want to see it first. Yeah,
you got to see it.
I've been taking Geno as my backup in like all my redraft leagues that I can, just because he's like one of the last quarterbacks who goes, and I don't see how he doesn't have 4,000 yards passing this year. Like, we drafted Brock Bowers as the top tight end overall. Mm-hmm. We drafted Ashton Jeanty top 5 or 6 running back overall. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Myers is a top 70 wide receiver or player overall that we've been drafting. Yeah. Like, how does Geno not succeed with these guys if we're all valuing that high? It kind of reminds me of years ago when Eli Manning had like Hakeem Nicks and Steve Smith and Victor Cruz and all these guys. You know, he had all these guys to throw to, and we were rating Eli Manning as like quarterback 24. Like, what are we doing?
That's a good call. That's actually a really good call, because I got Jeanty at running back 2 this week, Bowers at tight end 1. Those weapons are gonna catch, they're gonna get theirs. And, you know, if you're nervous about Jacoby Myers, go look at his warp chart from last year. And if you don't know what warp is, that's wins over replacement. That is something you could find at southharmonff.com. Go get the warp tool. It helps you in redraft. It helps you in dynasty. It helps you in freaking everything. So make sure you go to southharmonff.com, get that warp tool, and check out what Jacoby Myers' warp looked like, because it's a lot better. He was a lot more valuable last year, I think, than many expect. On the New England Patriots side of the ball, we're going to start with the quarterback, because everything goes through the quarterback. Drake May, give me your thoughts on Mr. May in his first start in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like a little bit of the over on this one again, too. Like, I think this could be a little bit of a game that has a lot more scoring than Vegas is thinking, too. So I do like Drake May with Stephon Diggs and Demario Douglas, sorry, blanked on him. Travion Henderson is in there. Like, he can catch the ball. You know, I think the both running games should be, you know, solid here. So I'm liking both offenses here, honestly.
I love Travion this week. I am a little worried on his overall volume because I do think that the game plan will be to run a lot with Ramondre. But it comes down to who takes control. If we're talking about this Raiders offense being more, you know, exciting than people think, Patriots might be in catch-up mode, and that's what we're looking at for fantasy, because that's how we get the over on these props. That's how we get this fantasy output from guys like Travion, from Drake May. Stephon Diggs, you in on Stephon this week? He might be the only receiver that I'd even think about, or maybe Pop Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, Diggs I'm definitely playing. Pop Douglas, I mean, we look at what Josh McDaniels has done with slot receivers in his past. Jacoby Myers, same kind of, you know, type of player from when he had him in New England. So, yeah, I think Demario Douglas does good. Hunter Henry, I don't mind playing. I had decisions between Hunter Henry, Brenton Strange, and one other tight end. I forget who off the top of my head, but I went with Hunter Henry. Like, that was Drake May's guy last year. There was a couple games where it kind of sucked, but he was peppering Hooper and Henry quite a bit. So I think Hunter Henry might be worth a start this week.
Guess where I have him ranked this week, Eric?
Oh, tight end 13.
Tight end 10 this week. I love Henry. He has been my favorite late-round tight end target because I think he starts hot, and if he starts to fade, you figure it out and you move on from there. Before we move on to the next game, we have a couple questions in the chat, and this is why we're doing this live each and every Thursday, so that we can get with you guys, talk to all you guys in the chat, and help you guys get ready and walk through all these games together. Ruben asks, Pickens or Travion Henderson or Ricky Pearsall full flex PPR? Who you got here for Ruben?
I think I'm going to go Ricky Pearsall. Like, they don't have anybody else, you know, really at the wide receiver position. Jennings is just coming back. Purdy and Pearsall have had that connection all training camp and everything that we've heard. So I think I'm going to stick with Pearsall on that one. But it's close.
Yeah, it's close. All right, Dynasty Barry, our guy, DB, what is up? Geno Smith or J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, both guys are on the road. I think I'm leaning Geno. Like, I want to see it from McCarthy. It's a Monday night game in Soldier Field. Like, I think that Bears defense is underrated. That's a team I wouldn't mind taking some shots on the Chicago Bears defense this year. Like, whenever Dennis Allen just is focusing on defense, he's actually pretty damn good. He's been like that, you know, when Sean Payton was there with New Orleans and he was just focusing on D coordinator. He was really damn good at coaching defense. So I think that's going to happen again with the Bears this year.
I don't know what it is. Call it a premonition. Call it being completely full of shit. I don't know. There's a chance on Sunday Night Football that the Bears kick the shit out of the Vikings. I mean, they have the weapons. Their defense isn't great, but Ben Johnson with those weapons, what if he just dials it up? They are indoors, I believe, right? Or if they're in Chicago.
No, it's in Chicago. Nice, yeah.
It's still nice weather. It's not cold Chicago yet, so we're not worried about that factor at all. I don't know. I just – something tells me that J.J. isn't necessarily all that locked in and certain, as some people are already anointing, where the number one overall pick in that draft is kind of being left aside. And I think we should be a little careful there. But we'll dive into that game a little bit more later on in the show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the next game, though. And I'm just going to honestly just give it to you. You can talk about it as a whole because I think it's pretty straightforward. The Arizona Cardinals head down to the Bahia to take on the New Orleans Saints. Saints, 6.5-point underdogs, one of the highest differentials on the slate. 43.5 over-under, pretty low, and the Saints are 240 in the money line. Take it wherever you want, my friend.
Yeah, I think Cardinals is where I want to land here. I would take Cardinals minus the 6.5. I think they at least beat them by a touchdown. But Kyler, you know, he usually has some pretty good week ones. I've seen him have some good week ones in his past. Trey McBride, definitely starting him. Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he can't be any worse than he was fucking last year. And then you got James Conner, man. James Conner's healthy, ready to go. Like, yeah, sign me up for that. We got brand new coaching staff here for the Saints. Spencer Rattler last year, who proved he wasn't that great. Like, he had a couple okay games, but there were some really stinkers in there too. I think you got to play Kamara. You know, there's Olave. I think you just got to throw him out there just for some garbage time. I really do like Juwan Johnson too. Like, they don't have any other tight ends. Foster Moreau still on PUP. Taysom Hill torn ACL. He's still recovering. Like, they don't have any other tight ends. So if you are super stuck at tight end and you have nobody to play, like, I think Juwan Johnson could be a guy that could end up being a top 10 tight end out of nowhere.
Love it. Love the call. From one stinker to the stinker on the Sunday slate, Pittsburgh Steelers head to New York to take on the New York Jets. Jets are getting 3 points as the home underdogs. Over under, Eric, 38.5 on DraftKings. I mean, P.U. And the Jets are getting a little bit of juice at plus 136. Let's start with the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. Any excitement there for Rodgers in a revenge game against the Jets?
Yeah, that popped into my head a little bit too, like a little bit of a revenge game to stick it to Aaron Glenn after he told his little, you know, story of what happened there with Aaron Glenn. So yep. I could see that a little bit, but I kind of agree with Vegas. Like, I don't see this being a super high scoring game, maybe like a 17-13 type game. Yeah, like, I think there's going to be a lot of running. I still want to see, like, who is Aaron Rodgers even going to throw the ball to? I mean, I would assume that they're going to play a lot of 22 personnel and have Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith out there quite a bit. Jaylen Warren, I think, is going to get the start here. You know, he should do good in the receiving game. I like Jaylen Warren. If you just need 10 to 12 points, I think Jaylen Warren easily gets that for you this week, especially in PPR leagues. I'm not playing Caleb Johnson this first week. It's a tough matchup on the road. I want to see it first, and it just sounds like Jaylen Warren is kind of the guy they trust right now. As far as starting Aaron Rodgers, I'm probably avoiding it if I can. I have one league where I'm starting where my two set quarterback two and three are Rodgers and Russell Wilson. I think I'm just going to go with Rodgers.
Yeah. In DK, I like DK. I don't love DK. I just think he gets peppered with targets, but I don't love him this week. I don't know.
I'm the Jets, I'm just sticking sauce on DK all game long, and good luck.
All day long. So I don't know if we have a whole lot of fantasy excitement with the Steelers, but it is going to be interesting to see. I'd love to see a lot of Caleb Johnson, see him kind of rumble, stumble, but we'll see how that plays out. Jet side of the football. Wow, I don't even know where to start. They're going to run the football. So, do we like Breece Hall? Do we like Breece Hall and Braylon Allen? Do we like Fields in two as just a three-headed college? Maybe they run the Navy or the Georgia Tech triple threat. What do you think?
Oh, man, I just think that the Steelers probably know Justin Fields' weaknesses pretty well, and they're going to attack the shit out of it. So that is kind of where I'm avoiding starting Justin Fields if I can. You know, they just lost Elijah Vera Tucker for the season. They're one of their best guards. Brutal. So that's going to be a brutal one for their run game. Like, I just think this is kind of going to be an ugly game, probably on both sides. Like I said, a 17-13 game, you know, something, you know, low scoring. You want to probably start Chris Boswell. He probably ends up with like 6 field goals. I think you got to play Garrett Wilson. You got to play Breece Hall. I think that's it. I don't think I'm playing anybody else.
Completely, completely agree with you there. Garrett Wilson for me is just one of those things where I found that I have him on a bunch of my redraft teams because the value just was always too tantalizing. I just couldn't keep seeing him fall to the fifth round and not take him. So I have a lot of shares of Garrett Wilson. I'm going to bet on the talent there. It wasn't that bad for DJ Moore when he was catching passes from Justin Fields. It wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. So I'm going to stick with Wilson. I'm going to stick with Hall. I'm fading Justin Fields in my one QB redraft leagues. I'm at QB 13, so I think he could find elsewhere. But you know it's not good, my friend, when maybe the start of the week in this matchup is the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Yeah, or Chris Boswell.
Yeah, if you can get the D and ST components of the Steelers, fire them the F up, baby.
Right.
From one New York team to the next, battle of NFC East division rivals, the New York football Giants head to the nation's capital to take on the Washington, don't say that word, Commanders. Commanders minus 6 point favorites, over under 45.5. And the Commanders are minus 258. Giants plus 210. I want to ask you a little bit about this betting question, and all our listeners can kind of use this conversation to kind of let that reverberate through the fantasy players. Vegas is telling us a 45.5 over under. Are they telling us that the defense of the Giants is a little bit better than people are kind of saying out loud?
Yes, and that's why I'm taking Giants and the points in my betting this week for sure.
6 points.
If I'm just have 5-10 bucks laying around, I might even throw it on the money line Giants.
This is some of the better juice you can see. Yeah, 210.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants come in here, and their defense is really damn good, guys. Like,
it's good.
Abdul Carter is
scary.
Yeah, Abdul Carter is. I don't want to say he's Miles Garrett, but he's in the realm of possibility. Yeah, I think the Giants pass rush is gonna be really good. Why can't I think of his name? Dexter Lawrence up the middle. He's a beast. Like, I think, and who's gonna be running for Washington? We don't really know. McLaurin just came back. Does he have enough chemistry with Jaden Daniels still? Debo's new. I mean, I think Russell Wilson has been playing pretty damn good there. I think just get the ball to Malik. You got Wandale underneath. Slayton's pretty good. Dio Johnson solid. You got Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scatabo. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of liking the Giants here to pull an upset.
The Giants, my friend, are the upset of the week. This is my upset of the week pick.
Okay,
The Giants defense is going to get after that ass. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to rain on the Commanders parade, but they might be the front runner for the regression candidate of the year, considering how much they outkicked their coverage. I know Jaden Daniels is awesome, but can he outrun that defensive line, those edge rushers, that speed, that athleticism all day? Now, having said that, I do have the Giants as my upset of the week. And, of course, you're playing Malik Nabers without question. Russell Wilson, don't love him. But, I mean, I guess in Superflex, if you're in a pinch, you could find worse options. But I want to ask you about the running backs of the Giants before we get to the Commanders real quick, because I do have a take on the Commanders. I don't think it's going to be all bad for fantasy, even though I do think that they lose in the upset of the week. Tyrone Tracy, Cam Scatabo, it seems like Tracy has pretty handily won the job, should be the guy that gets at least a 55-60% snap share. How do you see that running back, that backfield playing out?
Yeah, I definitely like Tyrone Tracy as the guy, and I think Singletary and Scatabo kind of split that secondary role there. Like, I don't think Scatabo is just going to overtake Devin Singletary right away. Mm-hmm. So I'm not playing Scatabo. I'm not playing Singletary, but I'll play Tyrone Tracy as like an RB2 flex play.
Yeah, I like Tracy, but I do think that people need to realize something that, and I'm glad you brought up Devin Singletary's name. He's not fantasy relevant. We're not going to roster him. We don't want him to play, but they're human beings. And Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the team builder, has known this guy, has rostered this guy, has coached this guy for years, getting all the way back to Buffalo. This guy's a professional. They're not just going to relegate him to the trash can. He's going to be on the field to annoy all the Cam Scatabo guys for this year. So I don't like the Cam Scatabo in week one. I am excited to see how it pans out, but not right away. On the Commander side.
Real quick, me and Koopa did a depth chart show last night for his pod that's going to come out on Saturday, and we went through all the depth charts. And Devin Singletary is listed as RB2 over Scatabo, so just want to point that out.
Good call, and make sure you're checking out Grinding the Edge on the South Harmon Podcast Network. Coop drops gems every single week. I mean, I say it all the time. He's probably the most gifted fantasy mind in terms of the analytics and his ability to connect numbers and traits to football. I love it. So make sure you check out Grinding the Edge this Saturday and get a special guest, our guy here, Eric Benick there. Eric Benick will be on Grinding the Edge. Terry McLaurin, I'm going to be honest. I'm a bit of a wuss here. I'm still putting him into my top 15, but I'm not pumped. I don't know how you can just be a sit-in and then all of a sudden be ready. I do like Debo. I have him as a top 30 play. And the reason why I like Debo is the same reason why I have Austin Ekeler as my running back 20. With this pass rush, they are going to have to dump the ball off straight up and down. They have to dump the ball off, right?
Yeah, I like Zach Ertz too. I think Zach Ertz could be a sneaky back end tight end one too, kind of the same reasons. One question to you. I have it. in but of a lot of my redraft leagues, I took Eckler and Bill Kroski Merritt both together, like back to back. Who you starting Eckler week one over Bill?
I'm starting Eckler over Bill. I just don't think he just pushes him aside in the most valuable touches, considering where he was in the depth chart. I know depth charts can be kind of cockamamie, but at the same time, like a guy like Eckler, who has been a pro for a long, long time, isn't just going to be pushed aside. Cliff Kingsbury continuously talks about all four guys, so there will be a hot hand approach. Now, if the game goes in the way that the betting odds might say, you know, a touchdown favorite for the Commanders, then I might like me some more Bill. I just don't see it happening that way. So when I did my rankings, I see a lot of checkdowns. I could see anywhere from 5 to 8 receptions for Eckler in your PPR leagues. That's an absolute smash play.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you get 5 for 50, there's 10 points just there.
Yeah, and then if he falls in the end zone, all of a sudden you're talking about top 12 week, top 15 week for sure. All right, let's move on to – oh, go ahead. You got something?
No, go ahead.
So we're going to head over. Are we finally into the 4 o'clock games? I think we might be. The first 4 o'clock game, or in where you are, right, 3 o'clock game.
No, 4 for me too.
Okay, I always forget. Ohio, like, that's where the time changes.
Yeah, we're like, it's like Indiana is like central, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so a 4 o'clock game for your East Coast friends, or you're my Ohio friends as well. Tennessee Titans head to Denver to take on the Broncos. This is the biggest lopsided spread so far on the slate. Broncos are giving 8.5 as home point. Favorite home favorites. Over under 42.5 is kind of yucky for fantasy. And of course, if you want some juice, you ain't going to find more juice in this. +320 for the Tennessee Titans. Getting a whole lot of juice on the road. Let's start with the Titans because there's not a whole lot to talk about. You're playing Tony Pollard. You're playing Calvin Ridley. Are you playing Cam Ward, though?
No, I'm going to avoid Cam Ward. And there's some leagues where I'm sitting Calvin Ridley, too. Like, if you know I have 5 really good receivers, I'm probably sitting him because I think Pat Surtain's going to lock him up. So even though I really like Ridley this year, I took a lot of him. I think he's going to get locked up week one, unfortunately. So I'm going to avoid him.
Okay. All right. And now, is there anyone else? Elik Ayomanor makes the wide receiver two a starting wide receiver. And I got to be honest, I've seen people victory lap Ayomanor. And yeah, maybe he's good, but victory lapping Elik Ayomanor for beating out Van Jefferson and Treylon Burks and whoever else that they have on that team, Tyler Lockett? You can't victory lap that. We're not playing Elik, are we?
No, I'm not playing him. But if I do have him, you know, best ball leagues, I'm excited to see what he can do, but it might not be until a couple weeks in that we finally get to see him, you know, kind of shine a little bit, but I do like him.
So I'm looking at it here. Knicks RB, quarterback one type of play. Cortland Sutton is a must play. Evan Ingram, we're excited about that. So that leads us to this. RJ Harvey, JK Dobbins, both or neither?
Both, I think, for me. There's some leagues where I do have both Dobbins and Harvey. I just throw them both in there, and I get all the Broncos rushing points. So I think, you know, kind of like Vegas is telling us, they're, you know, Denver should be up top. I think second half, they're going to run the ball a little bit more. So I think Dobbins and Harvey could both get there. So I like both of those guys.
I have them back-to-back in my rankings. I am playing both of them if I roster them. You know, sometimes in these blowouts, what we tend to forget is that, you know, they think, oh, you got to slow it down. They're just going to run the ball. Well, if they are blowing them out, they have to score points somehow. The electricity comes first, and then the thunder comes after. So, you know, I think we can see some RJ Harvey big week, you know, big plays early on. Doesn't need a whole lot of volume. We've seen the electricity in that guy. And then all of a sudden, J.K. Dobbins is kind of that grind him out at the end, which leads to both guys being fantasy relevant.
I like Troy Franklin a little bit too here. He's listed He's listed as a starter now. Him, Marvin Mims, and Sutton are the 3 starters at receiver after they traded Vele. I like the connection him and Bo have had since college. Sean Payton's been talking him up. Bo Nix has talked him up. Like, he's had a really good camp. I think there could be a nice Troy Franklin play here. So I like him in some deeper leagues.
Get him in your DFS lineups then, too. That's Eric's big move. Yeah. It's getting some Troy Franklin. Because at the end of the day, you know Bo Nix is going to politician for his guy that he's known for a long time. He's had success with at different levels. So I like the call. Let's talk about this battle of NFC West divisional rivals. San Francisco 49ers head to the Pacific Northwest to take on the new look Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are getting 2.5 points at home. Over under 43.5 is not all that exciting, I'll be honest, but there are definitely plays in this game. And if you want a little bit of juice, Seahawks are getting plus 120 on the money line. Let's start with the Seahawks. New quarterback, Sam Darnold. New receiver, Cooper Kupp. Are we playing everybody here? It feels kind of me like I've liked most of them. The only one I might be a little bit iffy on is Sam Darnold. But if I'm maybe on Darnold, can I like the pass catcher? So just kind of help me make sense of this Seahawks team in week one.
Yeah, I really like the Hawks this week. So I want to play Ken Walker for sure. JSN, I think you're playing for sure. Cooper Kupp's a little interesting. He's probably more of a flex play for me, but I think if you drafted him, you probably got to play him. I am interested to see how Walker and Charbonnet work together. Darnold, probably don't want to play him. I probably have better options than Darnold. But I really like the Seahawks this week. So I mentioned I was on the podcast with Koopa, mm-hmm. and we are going through their depth chart. Tell me if you've ever heard this, Maddie. They have 4 tight ends and 2 fullbacks on their on their depth chart. That tells you they want to run the ball.
Holy shit.
Yeah. 4 tight ends and 2 fullbacks are on their 53-man roster right now.
That must be like a first since like 1922.
It has to be.
It's insane. What are they going to run? The wishbone, the Bay City T here? I'm excited to see it, though. And I don't know if I'm excited about this offense in terms of week one, but I am excited to see how it looks because the redundancy at wide receiver is glaring in terms of the skill sets of JSN and Cooper Kupp. The running backs are both absolutely talented, so should they use them both? I think so. So I'm excited to see how they use Darnold in his new offense and kind of see how this Seahawks team looks.
The one thing that sticks out to me from the preseason is, do you remember when, I think it was this week two, they played the Chiefs at home, and they had 230-something rushing yards as a team, but they didn't have anybody over 50 rush yards. Everybody ate. Everybody had like 50 rushing yards. It was crazy. So this team has a lot of talented running backs. Like if George Halani had to get in there as their third running back, that guy can run the ball. They got guys on their practice squad that can run the ball. So yeah, I'm excited to see Kubiak with this offense and this offensive line that looks pretty solid again. So yeah, I really like the Seahawks this year.
Let's go, Seahawks. Let's go. 49ers, I don't think there's really a whole lot to talk about here. McCaffrey, duh, let's play him all day, every day. We like Pearsall. Juwan Jennings gets his hush money, so we're going to fire him up. George Kittle, one of the best tight ends in fantasy football. Brock Purdy, though, where do you think he's going to fit? Is he going to be a starting quarterback in our 1QB leagues?
I've tended to sit him, and I've drafted him quite a bit. If I had a better option or if I had to choose Geno Smith or Purdy, I'd probably take Geno Smith this week. Trevor Lawrence over Purdy, you know, guys like that that are probably in the same similar range. I think I would tend to go those guys just because this is on the road. I don't know if Jennings' calf injury was real or not, so we'll see. Like, if it's just Jennings, like, they got a bunch of guys off the streets, MVS, Russell Gage, Sky Moore, these guys that they just brought in, they have no chemistry really with Purdy at all in a game. So that kind of just makes me think either Kittle and McCaffrey have to just completely smash and go nuclear, or they're going to struggle a little bit against a really, really good Seahawks defense, which I think Seahawks defense could be a top 10 defense in the league this year. So I'm it's a tough place to play in Seattle. That's kind of why I'm leaning Seattle in this one.
I love it. So the last 4 games that we're going to talk about are probably the 4 most exciting on the slate. They did a bang-up job putting some of these teams together and where they have them playing and all that good stuff. So I'm going to rattle through this game because I think a lot of people would think to themselves in fantasy, I'm just going to play them all. And that's the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. Packers, 2.5-point favorites. Over-under of 47.5 is exactly what I said. It suggests that you play them all. And if you want some juice for the Lions here, you get 124, plus 124 in the money line. So a little bit exciting there if you want a little extra juice to your betting. So what I'm just going to do here, I'm just going to rattle through the players. I'm going to say, are you excited or not? Are you starting? You're sitting. However you want, because we're gonna go through it. Because I don't think it's as cut and dry as we think. No Ben Johnson. The defense of the Packers got a whole lot better with Micah Parsons. Now, if he's out, I think we can kind of proceed with a little bit less caution. But let's start with the Lions side of the ball. Jared Goff, in or out?
I'd probably lean more towards in. He'd probably be in, like, if I had to start him or Purdy, probably go Goff.
Okay. Amon-Ra, in or out?
In, for sure.
Always, every day. Yep. Jahmyr Gibbs, we don't even answer that. We already know where he's in. David Montgomery.
Yeah, I think I got to play him for where I probably drafted him. But if I have, you know, two or three other guys that are above him, like, I'd probably play Jaylen Warren above him just because of the PPR aspect. So that's kind of what I'm looking at there. I'm like, would you play Eckler over him? I think that's a real possibility, too. I'd probably play Eckler over Montgomery.
I would play Eckler over Montgomery, another guy that you might be able to have grabbed late. Jerome Ford, I would play over Montgomery. Yeah,
that's a good one.
So, I kind of feel a little bit like that as well. Sam LaPorta, in or out?
Yeah, I'm starting Sam. I think he's healthy, ready to go. I think that's probably where the best spot to attack the Packers would be is kind of those middle linebackers and stuff, and I think LaPorta can do that.
And last one, Jameson Williams, in or out?
Yeah, I think I got to play him too. I think this might be a little bit of a more high-scoring game, and I like the Packers, though.
All right, let's do the Packers side. Of course, we're playing Josh Jacobs. You don't draft a guy in the second or third round and then not play him. You're going to play him. Jordan Love, in or out?
I think I'm playing Jordan Love at home against Detroit. Yeah, give me Jordan Love.
I got Jordan Love as a top 10 play. I'm firing him up all day long. Tucker Kraft, in or out?
In, yep.
And last but not least, because I'm not going to talk about Jalen Reed. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't think he'll be much of a factor, if he does, considering the time he's missed. Matthew Golden, in or out?
I think they drafted him high. It's a Packers home game. They're going to want to get that guy the ball and have him make a big play. So I really like Matthew Golden this week. So, yeah, start him.
Yeah, I think Matthew Golden could see 7 or 8 targets in his first week as a Packer. I think that's on the table.
And then you mentioned Jaden Reed. He has a Jones fracture in his foot, so that's why he's been wearing a rocking boot. And like, those never heal correctly, like playing on that. Like, he's just going to deal with this all year. So I'm out. I kind of like Romeo Doubs as a sneaky play, too.
Okay. All right, let's move on to La La Land. The Houston Texans head to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Texans are 3.5-point underdogs on the road, over under 43.5. And the Texans are getting 145 on the money line. Let's start there with the Texans. Just tell me about it, because I'm not really confident in anybody here other than Nico.
Yeah, we're going to have probably no Christian Kirk. Sounds like he strained his hamstring and is going to miss this week and probably next. So that means two rookies out there, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. We'll see how these rookies perform. This is, you know, we're throwing you to the fire against a pretty damn good Rams team. So maybe Dalton Schultz, but I've never been a big Dalton Schultz fan. You know, if you got to play Nick Chubb, I guess I don't mind Nick Chubb, but I don't even know if he's going to be, you know, the full-time guy. Like, I think Damian Pierce can get in there and Woody Marks. So, yeah, I'm only really confident in Nico, and that's about it.
I completely agree with you. I'm not really all that excited about Chubb. I'm actually not excited about C.J. Stroud. I have him outside of my top 20. And the reason is, when I see that over-under and I look at that defensive side of the ball for the Rams, I think it's going to be a long day for the passing attack of the Texans. They can get after the quarterback, and the Texans offensive line is maybe a hairline better than Swiss cheese. I could see a massive abuse here, especially with the Texans having to be on the road halfway across the country playing in La La Land. Now, on the Rams side of the ball, there's really not much to talk to. We are firing up Kyren Williams. We drafted Puka Nacua and Devontae Williams way too early to not be playing them. Matthew Stafford is going to always be in the same range as a QB2 with some QB1 spike week. So in best ball, maybe a DFS lineup, you want to get that stack going, you can fire it up. There's really not much to talk about when it comes to the Rams. This team is looking like it's going to be one of the best in the NFC. So let's go with the Rams here. I don't think there's really much to talk about. Two games left, my friend. The prime time games.
Breaking news real quick. CMC injury report with a calf. It starts again.
Brian Robinson. Over under 200 million people put Brian Robinson on the trade block right now.
Yeah, it's already going through on my phone. Boop, 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 boop,
boop. Yeah. Oh, nah, bro. I need a first, bro. I need a first. I need a 27 first, bro.
Yeah,
exactly. Here we go. Fired up Brian Robinson time. And maybe they traded for a reason. Maybe. And we do know for a fact that the Niners are shite when it comes to reporting their injuries. Remember the whole thing last year where Jordan Mason goes off on Monday night and he goes, yeah, I knew I was playing on Friday. And we're like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah.
It was Monday night, literally Monday. Right before the game. They break breaking news. Oh, yeah, CMC inactive for this game. And everyone's like, what? No one knew.
Yeah. So who the hell knows? It's going to be. DB, yeah, exactly. I need a 27 first, bro. I mean, yeah, that's 100% on the table. All right, let's talk about probably the most fun game on paper this weekend. The Baltimore Ravens head to Orchard Park to play the Buffalo Bills. Ravens are -1.5 favorites on the road, over under 50.5, highest on the slate. Gotta love, well, not technically on the Sunday slate, but on the actual matchups. And the Ravens have the -125 favorites in the money line. You do get a little bit of juice, though, as of right now on DraftKings at +105. I'm just going to hand it to you here and kind of go with it, because to me it just seems like you're going to play everybody. But if you want to get into a little bit of the weeds, I want to hear what your thoughts are on this game.
Yeah, best game of the weekend by far for me. I really want to see, like, Buffalo, I just kind of thinking about it in my head, they added all these new guys on the defensive line. Like, they are going to be able to rotate their defensive line in and out. They're going to be able to pressure all game long. So I really like that for them. But I'm playing Lamar. I'm playing Zay Flowers. I'm playing Derrick Henry. I'm playing Mark Andrews. I think Rashad Bateman could be a sneaky play too. Mm-hmm. I like those guys. I don't feel confident in Hopkins, but that's probably the only one I'm not playing from the Ravens side. Bills side, obviously you're playing Josh Allen, you're playing James Cook. I've threw some Dalton Kincaid in there. Keon Coleman's been limited. I gotta wait to kind of see on that one. Khalil Shakir has been practicing in full. He's back from his ankle injury, so definitely would fire up some Khalil Shakir as like my wide receiver 3 flex that I drafted him to be.
Love it. I think they only brought DeAndre Hopkins in to catch a big third down play, make a couple plays here and there. I don't suspect him to have much fantasy value, but I do like the Bateman call, and I do think it's a big game for Khalil Shakir, who could see a lot of targets if this does shoot out. So this is just gonna be a fun game whether you have fantasy players in it or not. If you put some money on the line or not, it doesn't matter. This is just a straight up good ass football game. And the last game that we're going to talk about on the first week of the 2025 NFL season, again, this is the walkthrough. Make sure you subscribe to the South Harmon YouTube channel, like this video, leave a comment. Who are some of your favorite sleeper plays in week 1? Minnesota Vikings head to Chicago to play the Bears. Now, these lines, my friend, are very interesting to me. Vikings are 1.5-point favorites on the road, so pretty close. Over under 43.5. I'm smashing the over here. Mm-hmm. And on the money line, the Bears have only this much juice, only that much, +102. Is Vegas trying to tell us that this Bears team is going to put up a bigger fight, I think, than a lot of people suspect on the surface?
Yeah, I kind of talked about earlier, man, I think it's going to be their defense. Like, I think they're going to be able to shut down and confuse J.J. McCarthy here a little bit. You know, I'm still going to play my Justin Jefferson. I probably play T.J. Hockenson. I drafted him high. I do like Aaron Jones and Mason. I probably would prefer Aaron Jones over Mason just because of some PPR. Thielen, I want to see if he has any chemistry with McCarthy yet, so maybe I wait on that one, but I could see him doing, you know, decent. But we kind of talked about it earlier, I'd probably Geno over McCarthy. I'd probably play Trevor Lawrence over McCarthy. A couple of those guys. So yeah, I think this is going to be a close game, kind of like Vegas is predicting, and I wouldn't be shocked if Chicago is the one that comes out on top.
Are you going to play Caleb over J.J. McCarthy?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to say yes. I probably would play Caleb over McCarthy, yeah.
I got Caleb 7 spots higher. I don't love either one as a QB1 in fantasy this week, but yeah. I would be playing Caleb over. Talk to me about the Bears. Talk about this offensive weapons. I mean, there's a 72 good players on this team.
Right.
How are you going to play it out in fantasy this week?
Yeah, I think Swift is a solid RB2-ish. Tight end, I definitely would probably play Loveland of the two, but he's probably more of like a top tight end two for me. Mm-hmm. I do like Rome. I do like DJ Moore quite a bit, so I'm definitely going to play those guys if I have them. I don't want to play Luther Burden, but this is also a very tough Minnesota defense. Like Brian Flores is, if he's not the best defensive coordinator, he's in the top three. So he's going to be able to confuse Caleb, you know, come with these exotic blitzes and stuff. So, yeah.
The one thing I have thought about when it comes to Brian Flores, because you're right, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. Ben Johnson's so familiar with him, having been only in, you know, in the division for the Lions. So game plan, schematically, I think it's really smart to go back and look really deep into the weeds of those matchups to see if there's been matchups. And I know there have been very good fantasy days with Ben Johnson, you know, controlling this the Lions offense against the Brian Flores-led defense. So early on, I think we could see a lot of fireworks. I'm excited for this game. And, folks, I'm excited for the week one. We are here. We've made it. We've got through the summer. We're here. Football is absolutely, positively, unequivocally back. And the show is back. The walkthrough week one, that's a wrap on it. Eric, you are the man. Let the people know listening where they can find all of the work that you're putting out for South Harmon.
Yeah, at Eric Vanek NFL on X and at America's Game Pod on X as well. Always drop America's Game every Thursday. We did drop it a little earlier this week on Tuesday, but every Thursday on the South Harmon podcast feed is where it drops. I'll be doing the Waiver Wire show on Tuesday mornings. That'll drop for us as well here on this channel in a video and in the podcast form for you as well every Tuesday morning. So make sure you check that out. I go really in-depth, deep. For deeper leagues, I'm not just giving you, hey, pick up Trey Benson because James Conner got hurt. Like everybody owns him. So that's always on there. Everybody gives really good feedback on that show. So I'm proud of that one. And then Sunday, start shit shows that we do. It can be live right here on this channel as well. Every Sunday that we're going to help you guys with your start sit questions. So always enjoy doing that.
Yeah, make sure you follow him on X. He's at Eric Vanek NFL. I'm at Matty Kiwoom. Again, please subscribe to the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel. Make sure you like this video, leave a comment, and just put the notifications on because, like Eric said, we got a schedule. We got a lot of content coming out on this channel this season. Every Tuesday, like clockwork, Eric's going to put out that waiver wire pod, and he's not just saying it. I'll say it for him. It's absolutely fantastic. Every Thursday, the walkthrough, Eric and I will go through each and every single game and then start shit. Every Sunday will help you make the most difficult, get those lineups absolutely dialed in, ready to rock, get them dubs. So I guess without further ado, boys, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Welcome to the walkthrough.